Jesus, why did you not blind me? What does it take to become a righteous man? Like a ghost through with a bird inside. Evil's here and I cannot hide it. Wickedness is famous, but it's really strong and true.
All right, here we go. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is September 30th, 2018. Be advised, everybody, Ken and I were talking. We're doing 2 hours tonight, so we're going for the next 2 hours. Ken's got to drive home, and I got something to do very early in the morning, so third hour not happening tonight. Hoolies blog dot blogspot.com, WHOOLIS blog dot blogspot.com, incendiary radio dot chatango.com, incendiary chat dot chatango.com, incendiary quencher dot chatango.com. We will be here the next 2 hours. A lot to get to, a lot of kind of, let's just say, digging down a couple layers down. You know, I was talking about, and I was using questionable sources last week about Miss Blasey Ford, okay? And guess what? These sources, it started to bubble up and materialize into a lot of different researchers. And so, like or hate, sort of fall, and what does it mean? And you don't have to believe the tapestry that they paint, but the links and so forth and so on can send you on your own kind of dot connecting journey, and that's why I like the website. Now, the funny thing is, I was reading about this guy, and this is the latest up there. I was reading about this guy on another site about a murder in Memphis, this Phil Trenary character. Now, they're linking this guy to a CIA-linked Democratic Party fundraiser, Philip Trenary, and they're saying that this guy was hit. You know, and this ties in with the doxing of Republican senators on the Judiciary Committee, and this really ties into Mike Adams's warnings about these Antifa-style kill teams, okay? You know, you're kind of Steve Scalise-esque. You know, we've seen these kind of Antifa training with, let's just say, tactical types. The red, black, and the green, which I covered, what, a long time ago, about this nexus between your reds of the commies, which is Antifa and Democratic Socialists of America, the green of Islam, your Linda Sewers and Kerr and the rest of those folks, and then your you know, new Black Panther types and a bunch of the Black Lives Matter and getting people sucked in from the, let's just say, pissed off groups from some of the black cults, the 5%ers and all of these different Black Hebrew Israelites and all kinds of these folks. So the red, the black, and the green, the commies, the kind of Islamic revolutionary element and the black revolutionary element all coming together and coalescing. And we really saw this in Ferguson, and really where this stuff really started to uncloak itself. But just throwing it out there, this Phil Trenary guy, where I was just reading on regular websites that weren't really trying to tie anything with this guy. They're saying that this guy was well, let's just say killed, okay? But I don't take that with a grain of salt. But it's interesting the web that some of these websites try to weave. And, heck, it could come out to be true later on. We don't know. And I haven't done enough background on this Trinary guy. Now, I did do some background on Michael Avenatti, okay? And it's funny that this guy hung out right here in St. Louis for a while. So he's a little bit younger than I am. Pretty interesting here, but represented parties in a number of lawsuits against the National Football League. Fortune 100 companies. He's a race car driver. Suing Trump, of course, for Stormy Daniels. To avoid a non-disclosure agreement she had signed. You know, and I covered this non-disclosure stuff. She's really a black mark on these sex workers because people want discretion. And they, you know, they pay money for people to be discreet. And then, you know, when you're not of the right, let's just say, caliber or of the right ideology, then you can have sickos like this Avenatti guy lawyer up, and he'll try to get you out of your NDA if it's good for political purposes. Now, this guy went to St. Louis University for a while, and I didn't know this. He moved with his family to Chesterfield, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis in 1982, where he attended Parkway Central High. That's very close to where I grew up. He attended St. Louis University, ran by the Jesuits, and then he transferred to the University of Pennsylvania. Well, that's where a couple of the Trump kids went. That's where Trump graduated from, the Wharton School of Business. Very interesting. Now, he graduated with a BA in political science in 96, and then he went to George Washington University Law School, where he graduated Order of the Coif, COIF, and first in his class with a Juris Doctorate in 2000. And he worked with Jonathan Turley, professor, you know, famous CNN professor Jonathan Turley, on constitutional issues relating to the FISA. Isn't that fascinating? So he's representing Stormy Daniels over here on the non-disclosure agreement side. But then a bunch of his fellow travelers, all in his circles, are all involved with the Russian collusion, FISA, you know, the dossier and all that garbage that we've been hearing about for the last, you know, coming up on 2 years. Very fascinating. Democrat operative, of course. And listen to this. While in college, later in law school, he worked at the Research Group, a political opposition research and media firm run by, get it, Rahm Emanuel, Mossad Rahm Emanuel, who was White House chief of staff for Barack Obama and the mayor of Chicago. And we're all watching Chicago very closely for a big false flag operation, possibly. Seeing that the horrible shape the state of Illinois, but especially the Chicago pension system is in. And I was just seeing what's very fascinating is Blackhawks all over Chicago this weekend and military operations going on in Chicago. I was watching all kind of footage. James Munder on his YouTube had a bunch of the footage. People were recording this stuff on Periscope and Twitter and so forth. And this is right where Chicago's favorite rap son, Kanye West, was on Saturday Night Live wearing his Trump hat and going off on one of his little, you know, rants and so forth. And allegedly, Miss Kardashian has filed for divorce. Who knows if this is true or not? This is all kind of interesting where Mr. West, he's really going off the orthodox black left plantation into, you know, questioning so forth and so on. And then this article's up on Kanye West as we're talking about him. tweeting about the 13th Amendment, okay, and which is calling for the abolition of the 13th Amendment, where basically, you know, where it talks about neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And so a bunch of people are throwing him under the bus, saying that he wants to legalize slavery again and all this. But basically, it's about prison reform and the prison industrial complex and basically having these inmates creating things on a manufacturing basis at a much cheaper hourly rate than a person on the outside, so forth and so on. And, you know, you can look at that a couple different ways. People are locked up for crimes anyway, so it gives them something to do. Number two, it gives them some pay. And some of it, it's gotten pretty damn high if you really look at it. And then it gives them skills for if they want to get out and actually pursue a career where they already have skills in manufacturing and so forth. I mean, you could look at it in many different ways. The drug war, you know, unfortunately, we're moved on to a new level of this drug war because of this Chinese fentanyl that's, you know, floating around. A couple kilos were just found of this fentanyl in my, or pounds or kilos, I can't remember which it was, but in my near proximity, where this was enough to kill a lot of people. You know, they cut the dope with this fentanyl to where they can make it super weak of heroin, and this synthetic opioid. Unfortunately, it makes people overdose very, very quickly, and that's why we see this large overdose epidemic. And so, very interesting things here with Chicago and the Black Hawks doing military exercises, and other people are speculating that somehow that this is operations for planned arrests for some of these people in the city of Chicago, which was basically Obama's base. That remains to be seen. You know, the Q drops and so forth and so on. You know, it's my thing with this Q. There, it was real big in this Kavanaugh stuff, and I'm pulling up the latest Q now. But I wanted to play this, Ken, if you would have six ready. Now, this is Dr. Pachinik, and we're going to go back to the Kavanaugh stuff. So we went into Chicago, the Blackhawks, Rahm Emanuel, Avenatti, all these connections, and then Kanye West, and then the trouble that the Chicago economy is, the city itself, really far, far in the red. Q saying Red October, stay tuned and watch. Justice Kavanaugh confirmation, and they're still saying goodbye, Mr. Rosenstein. So we'll see whether Rosenstein's out this week. And then the conversation between Jeff Flake and Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein. Very, very interesting stuff with this Flake guy and what happened with the vote to confirm, you know, to move him out of the Judiciary Committee into a full Senate vote. A lot of skullduggery there. And I know a lot of you probably already have or up to the gills with the speculations and so forth. But this is an interesting one here. Let's play clip six.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pachinik, and this is Steve Talks. This week we have witnessed a total circus of buffoonery on both the Republican and the Democratic side. This was not about alcoholism. This wasn't even about the rape of women. What this was about collusion of people who went to the same schools and had the same religion. Let me be very specific. Among the Democrats and Kavanaugh, every one of them, almost every one of them went to Yale University. Among the Republicans, 4 out of 11, that's 36%, are Mormons. Let me be more specific. When Amy Klobuchar was asking questions of Kavanaugh, who went to Yale Law School, I was wondering, why is she so adamant and so forceful, when in fact I found out she was totally ineffectual when I asked her about Mosaic Minds and really never responded to any concerns about the community or the environment. And it turned out, guess what? She went to Yale. Then I looked at Cory Booker, who what I call the pixie from New Jersey, flitting around, standing up, making a drama of himself. He's Spartacus. And then I said, I wonder where he went to school. It was Yale University. But, folks, he got a degree at Oxford. Now let me tell you something about Oxford. You pay for that degree, including Gorsuch. You can get a PhD at Oxford University in England for a minimal sum and just buy the teacher some liquor and you can read a book and write an essay. That's how you get a PhD. But that wasn't enough. Then I look at Sidney Blumenthal and I looked at his totally reconstructed face, his no job, his face, and I said, my God, doesn't he look familiar? I wonder where he went to law school. It was Yale, folks. Then I looked at Whitehead. Charlie Sidney Sheldon Whitehead. His father went to Yale, and Whitehead was running against another candidate in Rhode Island who also went to Yale and was in Skull and Bones. And guess what? Whitehead went to Yale. Kavanaugh went to Yale. So what exactly do we have here? We don't have Republicans. We don't have Democrats. What we have is a major geriatric unit, with Grassley 85, Feinstein 85, other people. The average age of both groups was about 232. But then I noticed there were Mormon women for ethical behavior, and they came after four Mormons. One was Orrin Hatch. The second one was, it's Orrin Hatch, Mike Lee, Jeff Flake, and Mike Crapo from Idaho. I'm sorry I didn't pronounce his name. But all four Mormons on 11 different Republicans. That's about 36% of the Republicans were Mormons. Almost 80% of the Democrats were from Yale University. So I'm wondering, where exactly is the representation of America from the South, the West, from Texas, from Howard University? It turns out only one woman went to Howard University, Miss Harris. It turned out only one person may have gone to Columbia. I don't know who it was. But guess who also went to Yale University? Every one of the Democrats who said, let's turn it to the FBI, guess who went to Yale? Comey went to Yale, and the present head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, was also a Yale graduate. Now, isn't this amazing that most of our government, including the Clintons, the Bushes, John Bolton, Bob Woodward, Dave Martin, all went to Yale? And what I'm saying is, this is a school that should cease and desist exporting out the second quality intellects that we have and the sociopaths that are coming into our lives. Let me quote Abraham Lincoln. He said, any person can handle adversity, but if you want to test that person, give them power. Thank you and good night.
All right. So just interesting there how many folks are Yale graduates that are involved in this whole kind of show. See you guys on the other side.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back in Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, September 30th. Now, Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, Robert Bork. Bork as a verb. William Sapphire of the New York Times attributes possibly the first use of Bork as a verb to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, August 20th, 1987. The word, in fact, appeared a few days earlier in a newspaper opinion piece dated August 11th. Sapphire defines to bork by reference to the way Democrats savaged Ronald Reagan's nominee, the appeals court judge Robert H. Bork, the year before. This definition stems from the history of the fight over Bork's nomination. Bork was widely lauded for his competence but reviled for his political philosophy. In March 2002, the word was added to the Oxford English Dictionary under Bork. Its definition extends beyond judicial nominees, stating that people who bork others usually do so with the aim of preventing a person's appointment to public office. And that's what they're doing to this Kavanaugh guy. Now, look, Merrick Garland, you know, after Scalia, the weird, let's say, death slash possible hit on Antonin Scalia down at the Cibolo Creek Ranch in Texas there near the border just after the Pope, anti-Pope, whatever you want to call him, was in town agitating about the Trump stand on immigration and so forth and so on. Scalia mysteriously dies, no autopsy or an autopsy by phone. And then quickly, this Merrick Garland, Jewish character, was put up by Obama. McConnell and the Senate basically stalled that out until after the election. Gorsuch gets in, and now we have Kavanaugh, and they're attempting to bork Kavanaugh. Pretty much what's happening here, and a lot of people are tying this in with Lindsey Graham's questioning, line of questioning about treason and military style justice for traitors and all that sort of things. And then people are even tying in McCain's death with the case that she was put to death comments. And I covered that in the last few weeks. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation here. And I love to speculate, but I also at the same time don't make it concrete. I'm always, you know, I'm always willing to entertain hypotheses and speculation. But at the same time, I always really try to keep my nose to the grindstone and really look at it and say, okay, that's a possibility. Let me file away in the memory. And then if some other kind of stimuli come my way that kind of corroborate or back that up or build up that foundation, then I'll keep looking at it. There's a lot of crazy stuff here. We got a couple minutes left. Ken, if you would get clip two. Now, this Hirono, this Hawaiian lady that told men that they need to shut up and step up and all this, I want you to listen to her little tit for tat, and it's a little special part that I've got pulled up. Let's hear clip two.
Sir, you're asking about college. I got into Yale Law School. It's the number one law school in the country. I had no connections there. I got there by busting my tail in college.
I feel insulted as a Georgetown graduate.
Excuse me?
Go on.
I'm sorry. It's ranked number one. That doesn't mean it's number one. And
go ahead and stop it there.
You know, in college.
So this Horono, this Hawaiian lady that's been really all over the place, guess where she's a graduate of? Georgetown. Jesuit Central in Washington, D.C., and she's really touting the SJW hardcore line. So, you know, Fordham University, where Trump did his first 2 years, and he went on to the University of Pennsylvania, Wharton School of Business. This Hirono lady went to Georgetown. This is where Michael Eric Dyson's a professor, the Georgetown School of Foreign Service, where many of our diplomats graduate. But there's the SJW production racket out of these Jesuit universities is over the top. And so you have some of these people here, you know, Kavanaugh went to the Georgetown Prep High School, and then he went on to go to Yale. But there's always this kind of Jewish and Jesuit overlap when it comes to all these kind of what we would consider psychological warfare theater that we're looking at. We'll see you guys after the break.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
Angel, too wicked for her home. And together we will wander, together we will roam. And I feed the fire, it is burning me alive. No, my precious air to breathe.
All right, we're back. Ken was informing me there was something going on with the music and commercial kind of software and so forth. So I'm back quickly here, but I wanted to get to this one. And I, you know, Lee Rogers uses kind of, and this is from his site, but this is up on the Incog Man. Evil Jews turned Kavanaugh confirmation into a circus. Most of you are reading this are no doubt aware of what happened to the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. The hearing was turned into one of the most disgusting political spectacles in the history of the country. Unsubstantiated allegations that Kavanaugh committed sexual assault at a party 36 years ago were used to smear him as part of a cynical effort to delay and block his confirmation. Point blank, this has been a Jewish plot to destroy a man who the Jews and their communist allies believe will overturn Roe v. Wade. The Jews promote legal abortion to white females as a choice because they want to see them murder as many of their offspring as possible. Jews are openly hostile to whites wherever they are, and this is just as true in the United States as it is anywhere else. This is a simple political reality of things. Well, a lot of blacks are also killing their kids as well. And so it's deeper than just Jewish versus white hatred. It's basically the abortion industry. There's a lot of Jews involved in it, but then there's a lot of non-Jews involved. Look at Kermit Gosnell, a black guy that was a real creep killing off black babies in I think it was Philadelphia. But what this is, it's at the deepest heart of this whole thing, it's basically satanic human sacrifice and then harvesting of flesh and all that stuff. And you've seen some of these satanic whistleblowers talking about the rituals that happen surrounding these abortion clinics. And so it's the whole kind of Jewish war on the European is there, and it's one big element of it, but it's not the whole pie. There is this whole, no matter what race some of these people are, when they give themselves over to evil at that level, where they start trading in body parts of and then fetal tissue for flavoring and for makeup and all the horrible things that we've seen, and then possibly putting it into the food supply for us to all eat. Therefore, the golden child from the movie, the Eddie Murphy movie, the golden child phenomenon, where they were trying to make this you know, avatar Buddha type young kid eat blood in order to basically kill his powers, and they want to do the same thing to all of us, to kill our spiritual health by feeding us probably ground up human flesh and cells and so forth. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. The first sexual assault allegation against Kavanaugh was by this supposed independent woman named Christine Blasey Ford. She's someone who openly opposes Donald Trump's presidency and who attended one of the Pussy Hat marches. And I kind of went all through there. She drafted a letter to the Jewish Senator Dianne Feinstein alleging that she was groped by Kavanaugh at a party 36 years ago. And, you know, I got to really give it to a lot of these outlets out here for throwing it back in Feinstein's face that she had this driver, this communist spy driver for 20 years. And then, you know, and all this other crap. Ken, if you would get clip three ready just to have about old Mr. Richard Blumenthal. And let's see. And then Feinstein recommends Deborah Katz, the Jewish lawyer, and her law firm, okay, to take Miss Blasey Ford and represent her. And this Katz woman, you know, with her, she was busted wearing like Democratic Socialist America, the left fist T-shirts, the whole nine with this Katz. I covered her last week. And then this other character, Bromwich, Michael Bromwich, another Jewish guy, served as Justice Department Inspector General during the Clinton administration. So the Inspector General of the Justice Department. So Waco, Oklahoma City, all this crap goes down. Johnny, Janet, Reno, and all of them. And so, you know, this guy, he's the Inspector General. The whole thing is slimy, but anyway, let's see here. And it gets into all these basically Jews in the media and so forth. And then this other one, this last one, what was her name? What was her? Swetnick, another Jewish lady, the third accuser, the one who talked about all the gang sex and all the rest of it. Just really, really, you know, sick. And so I wanted to get that out there. But let's listen to this stuff about old Blumenthal. This guy's got a big set. And Pechenik was talking about Sidney Blumenthal, which that's another Blumenthal. Richard was the attorney general of the state of Connecticut that ran for Senate. Let's listen to clip three.
As a federal judge, you're aware of the jury instruction, falsus in...
Cam, can you hear me?
Okay. In unibus, falsus in omnibus. Are you not? You're aware of that jury instruction?
Yeah, I am.
You know what it means.
You can translate it for me, Senator. You can do it better than I can.
False in one thing, false in everything, meaning in jury instructions that some of us as prosecutors have heard many times, is told a jury that they can disbelieve a witness if they find him to be false in one thing. So the core of why we're here today really is credibility.
That was Blumenthal there.
It was fitting that Richard Blumenthal stood today with men who had served under fire. Fitting because Connecticut's Attorney General, the odds-on favorite to win a U.S. Senate seat, was fighting for his political life.
Now, on a few occasions, I have misspoken about my service, and I regret that, and I take full responsibility.
Those few misspoken words were at the core of a New York Times story splashed across today's front page. On several occasions, the Times said, Blumenthal has spoken as if he served in Vietnam, not in the reserves at home. Occasions like this one back in 2008.
We have learned something very important since the days that I served in Vietnam.
Neither Blumenthal nor his staff, the Times said, ever corrected any of the numerous press accounts that had put him in Vietnam. However, on several occasions, as in this debate in March, Blumenthal has been clear about where he did and did not serve.
Although I did not serve in Vietnam, I have seen firsthand the effects of military action.
Tom Davis, one clip's in 2008 where he said he served in Vietnam. One's in 2010 where he was very careful and almost, you know, made sure as if he thought somebody was listening and he wanted to make sure he got it right. How damaging?
It's serious. Although he's won several statewide races, he's been under the radar on a lot of personal attributes, and this is an unforgiving year. I think this is a serious hit.
So is this unforgiving?
I think it's unforgiving,
it's very hard to explain to
people in this environment, particularly with Rob Simmons coming after you.
And Trump's been flaming him. And look, Trump got his deferments and so forth and so on, and Blumenthal got a whole bunch. But, I mean, you know, it's real bad when you're a reservist and you talk about you were in blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to try to flame Kavanaugh for saying, you know, you say one thing that's BS, then you're completely a BS person as a witness, blah, blah, blah. So the hypocrisy is over the top. Now, if you get clip four ready, this is this guy Tillis, Senator Tom Tillis. And this is how bad this and toxic this agenda is. Let's roll clip four.
Judge Kavanaugh, I also have to say, I believe that you're a part of, you're the first major target of a new strategy that's developed here. And I think you're right. I think it's just basically attack, attack, attack. It's not advising consent. It's search and destroy. And maybe one of the best evidence of this is one of the websites, one of the groups that are out there attacking you and trying to create fodder and all of these red herrings has already acquired a URL for the next judge that they're going to attack. The URL's right here. They've already purchased it. They're ready to go. This is the playbook. This is the way we're going to run this committee from this point forward. take a look at it. I'll make sure we get it out on our website. We've already got a Stop Another Judge Who Hasn't Been Nominated URL from the same people that are trying to mobilize people to attack you. There are some people here who may sincerely have concerns. I would tell you to pound the table with your ranking member and the leadership on your side to say, why didn't we ask questions? Why did we listen in and defer? Why didn't we do our part of the investigation while this leader did everything he could to accommodate Dr. Ford and to run down every single lead that's been presented to us? Weeks.
All right, you can stop it there. And this is where these gangster-minded, you know, Alinsky-eye tactics using people. I mean, they're clever, and they're, you know, these people that have given themselves over to the evil kind of mindset, to and I just want to be careful here, the folks that want to overthrow and implement basically a Maoist, Leninist style system, where, you know, when you see these people marching down the streets, so many of them, you know, Joe Biden calls people that support Trump dregs. But you know what? You look at these people at Trump rallies, and they're not dregs. They're just regular Americans. The Antifa and the people in the Democratic Socialists of America and all these people are the dregs. If you really look at it with an unjaundiced eye, with a completely logical viewpoint, so many of these people are basically, some of them are on the payroll of the various, you know, Open Society, Tides Foundation, Steyer, Soros, all these big kind of billionaires that are funding this kind of AstroTurf resistance garbage. You know, and look, you don't think that elements of the Chinese intelligence aren't involved in pushing left-wing Maoist stuff here? You got to be silly. The Confucius Institutes, all of this crap, the fentanyl. You know, there were books around in the late 80s and early 90s, like Red Cocaine, I think it was. It was talking about basically the communist movement worldwide weakening America by flooding us with drugs and so forth. Fascinating. You know, I was listening to Dean Henderson on Rent, and now he's a leftist, but he's like a leftist that is like a real kind of researcher and not some person that wants to throw people in gulags and that kind of a cultural revolution, red terror type of dude. You know, he's more of kind of a hippie minded, take care of people, you know, ratchet back the military industrial complex and help people and that sort of a guy. And, you know, he's a very smart guy. And I mean, I listen to him whenever I get the chance. And he pushed a movie called The Spider's Web, okay? And I would see everybody put it in the chat rooms, The Spider's Web. And it's about the Crown Corporation, the City of London Corporation. It's about the Cayman Islands, Jersey, all of these tax havens, the secret jurisdictions, the trusts, all that stuff. And so I watched it yesterday. And there's things in there that I learned, and I've looked into that stuff pretty heavy over the last, you know, 5-10 years. But I would definitely, I mean, it shows the Lord Mayor's parade and all the various little livery companies and all the crap, you know, which is really the spider's lair where this net goes out all over the world, and fascinating. fascinating movie, and everybody can probably learn something in there. It's, you know, interesting watching about the Cayman Islands. You know, you've seen the Cayman Islands ever since what? We were all kids watching James Bond movies and kind of our, you know, Hawaii Five-O type stuff, where they've always, Miami Vice, they've always mentioned the Cayman Islands in movies and blah, blah. It's real. There's trillions of dollars sitting offshore in these trusts that nobody technically owns, but if people are hiding all this wealth, you know, it's, and Bahamas used to be one of these, and there's a few others. Jersey over there in the UK is another one of these weird places. Very fascinating, though. Steve Bannon, okay, moving on. Steve Bannon was just on Bill Maher, okay? I watched the interview, and I really – Bill Maher is such a slime. But Bannon was on there, and he pretty much held his own. But Bannon just put out a documentary for the midterms, and it's called Trump at War. So the Trump and the at symbol, war, you can see that one. And after the top of the hour, I might play a little section of it. There's some serious disinformation in there, okay, when it talks about Iran basically being the, you know, everybody puts this thing that Iran's the head of the snake when it comes to worldwide terror. And I just don't see it. The Sunnis and the Shia basically hate each other, and all the, most of this terror that we see is basically Sunni kind of Wahhabist Israeli, you know, this, that kind of sector, to where the Iranians, look, they there's some loons in the Shia community, don't get me wrong. There's some people that, you know, just like in the Philippines during Christmas, that people that nail themselves to crosses, you can watch these guys opening their own backs up with, you know, big metal spikes and all that crap for Ali, you know, who they believe is the true, you know, inheritor of Muhammad's legacy and so forth. And then, you know, the whole thing with Muhammad's companions and Muhammad's nephew or cousin, people say different things, but his nephew Ali, and then the companions of Muhammad, Abu Bakr and Uthman and all these people, and you had the wars of apostasy and all this crap with the history of Islam. But there's some loons in the Shia community, don't get me wrong, but when people tell me that Iran's this biggest sponsor of terror, you know, the Christians in Lebanon don't mind being around Hezbollah. It's not like Hezbollah and the Shiites are like hating the Christians to the point where they've all of them have ran into the Israeli camp. Now, some of them have, very complicated situation, but I'm going to, when we, after, maybe after the top of the hour, I'm going to play a section from Bannon's movie about China, because if you've noticed, a lot of the heavyweights, the big fishes in the pond, are really pushing the Chi-Com angle, Alex Jones and a bunch of the other ones on, you know, on YouTube and so forth. And look, I realize that China's come up to a point where if people like Bannon and others are really blowing the whistle that China's our big main enemy and blah, 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 then maybe something has happened with Rothschild's pivot to Asia, the ghost cities that all the elites are supposed to go to. Maybe China has told, done some things to piss off the basically Elders of Zion crowd to the point where they're going to sick the United States on China, and then Jones and these guys are, you know, building it up, you know, so that when the war happens, that people are going to stand behind Trump. I don't know. I don't like the thought, but I always keep in mind that prophecy out of the Book of Revelation, the 200,000 people, kings of the East, coming into the Middle East and so forth for the Battle of Armageddon. So I have always kept that in mind. A very precision prophecy about the last times. And then, you know, some of these people that interpret Bible prophecy and said, oh, all that stuff all happened in the first century and there's no futurism at all. It's all been fulfilled. I'll be like, okay, well, where'd the 200 million men march from the east into the Battle of Armageddon? Where's that in the history books? We'll see you guys on the other side.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5. Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander Lifetime Membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
I guess, Ken, if you would get clip 7 ready, I wanted to get this one in, and then we're going to open the phones after the top of the hour, 1-800-313-9443. We'll take calls spattered out throughout the last hour. Ken, and just to make my point that there's these factions that are always involved, let's roll clip 7.
According to The Wrap, the weekly Roman Catholic magazine America has rescinded its endorsement of Brett Kavanaugh. America is published by the Jesuit Religious Order. Kavanaugh's endorsement was rescinded as a result of the sexual assault accusation leveled against him by Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. The magazine's editors wrote, "We recognize that this nomination is no longer in the best interests of the country." The magazine is the product of the same Catholic religious order that runs Kavanaugh's high school alma mater, Georgetown Prep.
All right. So America Magazine, which I jump into from time to time, the organ of the Jesuits here in the United States, has now rescinded its approval or endorsement of Georgetown Prep's own Mr. Kavanaugh and Yale Law School, you know, CIA, Yale, Catholics in Action, Catholic Intelligence Agency, Wild Bill Donovan, the whole nine yards. Very fascinating. But I wanted to get this in before the top of the hour, and I got a couple minutes. The dialectic. And think about this one. You make the left side of the spectrum, okay, the Kamala Harris's, the fine swines, the Cory Bookers, the Durbins, all these buffoons, okay, Blumenthal, all of them. You make them look so loony. You make them look so sick and twisted that this is – and after the top of the hour, I'm going to tie this in. But that you making them look so unpalatable that with Trump – building up the military, building up the police forces. The whole Rex 84. Remember how I said people are going to end up in camps? It's going to be one of the – you're making it seem like they're so crazy that they're so dangerous to basically normalcy that the – you know, the Eric Princes and the Craig Sawman Sawyers and the Chris Tonto Perantos and all these spec ops guys, you're making it seem like they're so radical and sick that they have to be basically interned, okay? And so that you unleash the Antifas, the Black Lives Matter, the Sarsuers, the Commies, and it's a train wreck. See you guys after the top of the hour.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.